You're listening to Radio
Thank
Eden.
You very much.
At the Bio Conference, and
I'm
James
happy
Carter
to be
talking
here
now.
Tonight, being amongst God's children. We are family in different places. I'm happy to be here this year. Last year I missed you guys. I see many, many faces that I know and I connect with. I want to thank God for the leadership of the VIA for inviting me. I was listening to what the Lord was doing in my heart as I was worshiping tonight, and I said that even if I had nothing to do in this conference, I'm already blessed. The blessing of the connection is priceless. The blessing of family, the blessing of love, the blessing of trust, it is priceless. So I'm eternally thankful to God for you guys, for your love, for your dedication, for your commitment. May the Lord bless every one of you, increase you boundlessly, and take you to another level. There are many churches I know, I've visited, I belong to, and this mix is phenomenal. It's not only Midlands, but all across. I see some faces from the Somerset area, and it's everywhere. So we want to thank God for what God is doing. Greetings from Juliet, my wife, Philip, my son, and Harmony, my daughter. Greetings from Jesus Worship Center, from the church in Uganda, and also from the church elsewhere where we've been. I feel a stirring up in my heart tonight, and I don't know how tired you are or how alert you are. But let us believe God together that whatever He has for us together, we are going to receive all of it. Amen? Amen. Whatever the Lord has for us together, we will receive it. I feel that that conviction that there is somebody already burning within. You're burning with the fire of God. I feel that. And I just encourage you, just release it and just go with the flow and let us enjoy whatever the Lord has for us tonight. Go with me, please, to Haggai chapter 2. Haggai chapter 2.
Yeah, James Cartel, just talking. People are just opening the Bible and reading.
I don't think we have a cop here tonight. Or a policeman, a cop. but policemen were moving around one village, and they discovered that there were some young men that were smoking marijuana. I don't know whether you guys know what that means, but they were taking drugs, and so they wanted to arrest them, and these young men took off. Now where they were smoking the marijuana from was near there was a cemetery. So when they ran into the cemetery, and one of the young men who was already high decided to remove his clothes. And he came back and he faced the policeman and he said that when we were alive, you used to haunt us and torment us. Now, even after we are dead, you have come to arrest us. I And the policemen took off because they really believed that somebody had come from the dead. Haggai chapter 2. We read from verses number 6. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord God of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. Now we understand scripture, especially prophetic scripture, to mean more than two things at the same time. What that means, Bible scholars believe that every prophet is a one-eyed prophet. Paul confirms that when he says that we see in part and we understand in part. But basically, when these guys were prophesying, they prophesied into the events of their day, but also into future times. So there was always a superimposition of what they saw then and what was yet to come. Now this is one of the scriptures that speaks right into God's end time work. And it's talking about glory, the glory of the latter house being greater than the glory of the former. And of course, in the days of Haggai, he's talking about the rebuilding of the temple. We've had three temples in scripture. The one first constructed by Solomon, and the other one that was constructed by Haggai and Ezra and Zerubbabel, and then the third one that was constructed by Herod. Now, Haggai the prophet is prophesying into the completion of the second temple, and he's talking about the glory of the temple. As physical as it was, there was a supernatural glory that what God was about to release even in the completion of that house, that temple. But also there was a spiritual significance. Like I said, that they prophesied in times of their day and also times that were way ahead. And this scripture talks about the things that God will do. I believe Haggai stands in this scripture and he looks into the future with the prophetic eye, and he begins to see the days of Jesus Christ and the days post Jesus' resurrection. And he begins to see the church moving in such a level of glory like they had never seen before. But the phrase I want to resonate in your spirit is the phrase, the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the glory of the former. Tonight, I have a few minutes to deliberate on the subject of the move of God. The move of God. And what is this move of God all about? I want to put it in a few words. God fills the earth since he created it. He fills the heavens and the earth is everywhere. All his creatures display and declare his glory. The Bible teaches in Psalm 19 that everything God has created displays the glory of God. Like we all know, God is spirit. And that God who is spirit is all powerful and is all knowing and is ever present everywhere. If you want to sound more sophisticated, you use the words omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. God is all powerful, is all knowing, and is everywhere. Even if God feels everywhere, there are those occasions when he moves. What does it mean for God to move? Those are the moments when he displays the attributes of his sovereignty in a way beyond the ordinary.
We understand He's everywhere. But there are those moments when God moves, when He demonstrates the attributes of His sovereignty in that particular moment. He has always been there, but in that moment when He moves, we can say, now God is here. You remember when He appeared unto Moses in Exodus 3? And He said, I've heard the cry of my people and I've come down. Question is, where was He all the time? He was there. But He was telling Moses, I've come down in a more intense way. And from the point that He announced His coming down to Moses, there was such an amazing intensity of the glorious, miraculous, of divine happenings in the nation of Egypt. And so when God moves, there are many things that begin to take place. Number one, there is a restoring of things that have been lost by the past generations. We come to those moments when the things other people who went ahead of us saw, touched, and heard, we no longer see, touch, and hear. And then God chooses to move to restore the things that the church has been missing. Also, when God moves, at times He chooses to do something new, totally new, that even the past generations never ever saw what He's doing now. Scripture has said that what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what has not yet entered the heart of any man, that's what God has prepared for those who wait upon Him from the foundations of the world. Also, we understand that when God moves, He cannot be ignored. Think about that. When God moves, He cannot be ignored. In other words, nobody can pretend that nothing has happened. Everybody will begin to say, something is happening right now. And so, looking at the different moves of God in Scripture and in the history of the world, there are things that we can place a finger on that happen when there is a move of God in our midst. Number one is conviction. The move of God brings conviction to the heart of man. Many of you have read, maybe heard about the East African revival. When God moved in the nations of East Africa, in particular Rwanda and Uganda, in the late 1800s and the early 1900s, there was conviction. Why was the conviction there? Because God's holiness always reveals our unworthiness. God's holiness always reveals our unworthiness. And so as God was moving in Uganda in those days, people began to repent their sins. They began to confess. They began to walk in the light, as they call it. And there was a lot of restitution done in those days. And the presence of the Lord came upon our nation. So God moves and there is conviction. Two, when God moves, there is renewed passion. Passion for what? Passion for worship. Passion for fellowship. Passion for Scripture. Naturally speaking, there are those days when we are all in recession spiritually. We are no longer interested in the things that we had interest in. But when God breathes upon us afresh, we have a reinvigoration spiritually. We have a desire, a burning desire to worship the Almighty God. A burning desire to come together in fellowship. A burning desire to study the Word and hear what God is saying. So whenever there is a mighty move of God, there is renewed passion in the hearts of His people. And the third thing that you see when God moves is what they call phenomena. Different divine manifestations, phenomena. Phenomenal things happen. In moves of God, we've had healings happen. Amazing healings. Creative miracles. Another phenomenon like joy. An outburst of joy. People getting slain in the spirit. Some places you've heard about golden dust coming upon the people. In some places you've seen evidences of oil running and dripping from palms of people. Phenomenal things. Nobody can explain them. When God moves, like the in the right English word is that he does weird things. Phenomena. Number four. In the move of God, there is always a harvest of souls. Whether there is a preacher who does it intentionally, or there is no preacher, but there's always this massive coming to the Lord. Jesus becomes very popular, and everybody wants to buy into him. And so you see them coming from every direction. I want to follow the Lord. I want to follow the Lord. And he visits them in amazing ways. Some of them, they don't even come to the meetings. As they're in their houses, he appears to them in dreams. He convicts them of sin, and they just run to church. And they give their life to Jesus. There is such a tremendous harvest. It may begin in one place, but all of a sudden it's all over every place, and people are convicted and they come to the Lord, a harvest of souls. And then the other thing I've cited in these moves of God is renewed fire for reaching out. Those who have been part of what God is doing, they want to tell others, and they want to preach the gospel. They want to go out on missions. Others run in a hurry to plant churches because what compels them from inside is driving them to do something about it. And finally, I want to suggest that when God moves, God is glorified. God is glorified. I remember preaching in a remote village in Uganda in the north, near where John and Christian visited some time back, and the Lord moved. I was preaching the gospel, and the people of that place in Nebbi, they say that the things we read about in the Bible, we have seen them this week. The blind were seeing, the deaf were hearing. I can't explain what happened in that meeting, but it was phenomenal. It was like Jesus of Nazareth coming in a place and doing things that nobody can explain. And everybody on the village was saying, God is great. God is great. It was amazing. And so, these things are not theoretical, but they are real things. And when we ponder over what it means to embrace a move of God, we need to know that it's real life. It's real life that God calls ordinary people like you and me to participate in the work that God will choose to do in that season of time. And I've already hinted about the East African revival. But I remember in Uganda in 1962, we had the full gospel revival. An evangelist from America came by the name of Dawuda, a lady, and she preached the gospel. Miracle signs and wonders began to break loose, and thousands of people were baptized in the King's Lake, just near Kampala, and tremendous miracles were happening. What came out of that was the institution of the full gospel churches of Uganda in 1962. And they were in this little tent where God used to come down whenever they began to sing praises to God. And as they were just worshiping God, the cripples begin to walk, the blind begin to see, until it caught the attention of the secular world. Secular musicians began to sing about what God was doing with the believers. And they would say, there, in that place called Makerele, there is a God who has come down and tremendous miracles are happening. Now the guys who were singing were non-believers, but it caught their attention. It is said that in those days, whenever the saints gathered together in that place called Makerele, the cloud of God's fire used to come on the temple. And fire brigades used to drive to the church to quench and extinguish the fire, only to come close and see no fire. But when they kept a little aloof, a little distance, they could see the fire. And so the whole village used to come and see and spectate what was happening around. When God moves, amazing things begin to happen. And then we had the move of God again in 1986. This was more of a charismatic revival, where God just came and broke loose in our nation, and young men and young women began to move in the power of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, healing the sick, moving in words of knowledge, casting out devils. And it was phenomenal to witness the time. That time I was still going to the Anglican Church before I joined the Pentecostal Church, and I visited these meetings once, 1988. I will never forget as long as I live in this overnight prayer meeting, and a minister stood up and he began to minister, and miracles were happening. Demons were screaming left, right and center. And he began to point out people by words of knowledge. There's somebody here like this and this and this and this, come out. And I remember those miracles. Now, I never knew it's called the word of knowledge. And so I told the Lord that time, Lord, I want you to give me the thing that tells him that there's somebody here. How does he know? I mean, I was so, you know, intrigued is the word. I was so intrigued by what I saw then. Those were phenomenal days. And of course, that burst something in us as pertaining prayer. But I want to tell you something I personally experienced, which I really feel was the move of God. That was in 1992. I was a student at the university doing food science and technology in Makerere University. And as young people, we began to seek the face of God. We wanted to see God in a way we had never seen him before. And so we had this chapel called St. Francis Chapel at the university campus. And all of us, girls and boys from different halls of residence, we used to come to this place and we used to wait upon the Lord in the evening. And some ladies used to lead the worship. One of those ladies now has become my permanent wife. But they used to lead some praise and worship. But you know, those days, something beautiful came and descended upon us. One of the things that touches me most was the hunger we had. And not, you know, forced or manipulated hunger. But it was, you know, God drawing us from within. You know that scripture that says, it's God who works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure in the book of Philippians. It was God drawing us to himself. And you know, we used to run those meetings from 8 p.m. in the evening after classes to 10 p.m. But I remember those meetings going on as far as 3 a.m. And the girls from the girls' hostels or halls of residence, by the time they went back to the halls of residence, they had locked them out. Those were the days when they learned to climb over the walls. To sleep for maybe 1 hour or two, only to jump out before the gatekeeper comes to come for the morning times of prayer and worship. And the anointing of God came upon us. Many people were born again that time. And we saw miracles at the university. The resultant effect of that is that many of us who were at the university that time, God called us to plant churches, to do ministry work, to get involved in full-time ministry. And actually, last night when I was boarding the plane to come over to your country, I met one of them. We are with him at the university. And I asked him, where are you going? He said, I'm going to Spain to attend a conference. And I asked him, what is happening with you? He told me, I'm evangelizing the nomadic people, pastoralist. And he has gone to those different tribes in Kenya, in Sudan, in Uganda, and he has evangelized them. And I said, Lord, thank you for that fire that you deposited on the inside of us. Until now, I've been speaking about history. But I want to close on the note of suggesting that God is still moving in our day. God is still moving in our day. And I want to close by encouraging you that tonight the Lord wants to open our eyes to see how he's moving around us. In our different churches, in our different communities, in our different situations. And Simon has been alluding to the fact of the things that God is doing with the Hope Center. And that is just an isolated situation. But I believe in the different churches represented here. There are things we can look at and we can say God is moving here and there. And let me tell you the story of Uganda. In Uganda, as I speak, there are things God is doing And you can say that only God is doing this. Number one, the unity of the pastors. People like John Noble have been visiting us for many times. And I believe he knows and Christian know the divisions amongst the pastors that has been there for some time. But I'm here to testify that of recent there is such a jailing of hearts, a bringing together of minds that only God can do it. In our church, Jesus Worship Center, every week we have a prayer breakfast for the pastors. And now we are up to a membership of 108 senior pastors that gather weekly and they pray from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. every Tuesday. And you need to be there to see what I'm talking about. The love we enjoy. The care for one another we enjoy. The things that God has birthed within us. God is moving in our midst in an amazing way. Another area I want to cite tonight is the area of prayer. God is taking prayer in Uganda to a higher level. I don't know whether you heard recently when the president of Uganda, His Excellency Yoweri Kaguta Museveni, called upon a national day of repentance. It is said that he fasted the whole day. And many cabinet ministers were represented on the day. And the church gathered in a place called Kololo just to repent and humble themselves before God. I don't think all the prayers said that day were very charismatic in nature, but I think they were sincere, calling upon God to have mercy upon our nation. That was not the last time he did it. He did it the second time and he invited another president from Burundi. Some of you have read about the president of Burundi, a passionate man for the Lord. And the two of them had a prayer breakfast together. And they were speaking into the life of the nation about coming to God and praying and depending and trusting in the Lord. Now when we look in the physical, we could have many things to judge human beings. But in the spirit, many of the spiritual efforts people do, I think they count and God notices. God is moving. We are seeing God move and harvesting souls in ways we cannot believe, even in our days. People are coming to the Lord. People are being born again. God has given me an opportunity to do outreach meetings in South Africa in different places. And in this one church, they invited me to do for them a crusade, kind of a gospel campaign. And after 6 days of evangelism, it was a small church of 20 people. 160 adults joined in one day. Now imagine they have only 20 chairs prepared for their ordinary members and 160 adults walking in one day. The pastor kept on running to me. He's called Steve. He kept on running to me. He said, James, what do we do? I told him, just chill down. God knows what he's doing. I didn't know how to handle it. Trust me, I've been preaching for a long time, but I've never been in a meeting where God adds to a church 160 adults in one day. That's the nation being born in one day, like scripture says. And so everywhere, all over the world, and it hasn't happened in one place, God is moving in our days. There are those moments where God has released such a supernatural demonstration of his power. I was preaching recently about 6 weeks ago in Uganda in a little church of a friend of ours. And it was evening. I preached 3 times on a Sunday. And so this was the fourth one, the fourth service. And I was preaching for him and I went with Philip and Julie. And as we were preaching, I told the people, let's just pray and wait upon the Lord. And the presence of the Lord just fell upon the congregation. And people were slain in a good way. And one of the people who was in the meeting was carried out of the meeting under the influence of the power of the Holy Spirit. And she was staying 1 hour's drive from there. And so she staggers out of this vehicle, and whoever she was waving to, they were slain in the grass. Serious. And about another seven or so were slain because she waved to them. And so this story was told to me 5 days after. And I said, Lord, you are too much. And we can go on and on and on and on about the amazing things that God is doing in our day. Recently we had a miracle in our church. This lady has been waiting upon the Lord to have a child for 13 years. This last Sunday, I was so privileged to dedicate her baby to the Lord. And who prayed for her? Nobody knows. Anyway, who cares? She has a baby. God is moving in an amazing way. As I close, I want to ask a question. Is there anything more that God wants to do in our lives and in our churches and in our situations? I guess the answer is a resounding yes. I want to suggest that there is more in God that God has for us. God wants to move in our hearts and in our lives way beyond what we have seen. Why do I say that? Because of the promise. You've heard the Lord say that once more, a little while, I'll shake the heavens and the earth. Even when we have had an opportunity, there is still a once more. A once more. In other words, God is speaking to us and he's saying, my children, you ain't seen anything yet. That's how the Americans say. You ain't seen anything yet. The glory of the latter house will be greater than the former. And I guess tonight the Lord appointed me for maybe two people who have had this stirring in their hearts of the Lord, a holy stirring. God has been speaking to you that he wants to bring you to a new level of using you in a way you have never seen before. As we close, we will pray with you. Because I feel that is of the Lord. You've had that word, that impression on your heart. God has spoken to you again and again in your spirit. There is more I can do. There is more I can do. There is more I can do. And I feel you could have a chance tonight to say, yes, Lord, have your way in my day. Have your way in my situation. And so God says that what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, that's what God has prepared. And I want to suggest to all of us that there are things we haven't seen in God because at times we are expecting nothing. And that's a bad state to be in. A people with a big God but expecting nothing to happen. It happens to you, it happens to me. At times we're just expecting nothing. And the end result is that we see nothing. But God is so close and is ever so strong. Another thing I've seen in churches, at times we have magnified what the enemy is doing. We magnify what the enemy is doing. Oh, these times are hard. Oh, secularism is taking over our nation. Oh, nobody is believing anymore. Even when God is doing something in our lives, we can witness that he's touching us. We can witness that he's touching our brothers and sisters. We can witness that his presence is there with us as we worship. But we just end up magnifying what the enemy is doing. And that's not a good thing. We need to glorify the Lord and what God is doing. At times we are just silent when we are supposed to speak out. You just allow the agents of the enemy to keep on talking. And we are very quiet. So what is our part in the move of God? Number one, prayer. God moves more as we say, Lord, we are waiting for you. We want to see you do what we have never seen before. So one part we have in the move of God always is prayer. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Let your glory fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. In our day, touch our children. In our day, touch our community. Our part in the move of God is a part of prayer. But also encouraging one another in what we are believing God for. There are going to be those times when the enemy wants to weigh you down. It won't happen. It can't happen. Not in your church. Not in your town. And God wants us to encourage one another. And I'm here to encourage you as brothers and sisters. And some of you, God has sent you to us in Uganda to encourage us. Recently, Dave and his family, they came and encouraged us. And I know this coming year, all of you here, the fire will happen in Kampala. All of you will come and encourage us. But you know what I mean. We encourage one another in what we are believing God for. But this is important for us to encourage the move of God in our times. We need to publicize what God is doing. We need to publicize what God is doing. And with all due respect, I know this is not a British thing. The British are quiet and they have good manners. But when it comes to the things of God, God has ordained that once he does something good in your midst, don't keep it to yourself. You publicize it. That's why you have your Bible. That's why you have the Gospel of Mark, John, Luke, and Matthew. Everything he did for them, they publicized it. Remember the Samaritan woman, John chapter 4. She went and told the entire city of Samaria. Remember the demoniac in Gadara? Mark chapter 5, he went and published it in Decapolis. The things God does in our midst, the more we publish them, the more what God is doing picks up momentum. So we encourage the work of God. We encourage revival when we tell stories of what God is doing in our churches and in our situations. Some of the people we work with just need to know what God is doing in our churches. There's something happening in the house. There's something happening in our fellowship. Come and see. And I've had many people join our church because a member of our church went and told them and said, something happened last Sunday. Come and see. You just come and be there in the worship time. You will sense God. And so they come and they sense God. And they join and they give their life to Jesus. We need not to be quiet about what God is doing in our lives. And lastly, there is an increasingly greater call of being bold. Being bold. It's not an issue of God not wanting to do anything, but certain times demand certain levels of boldness. I want to speak to you truthfully, and I want to tell you that I don't know how many times the Lord has literally rebuked me. And he has said, James, I want you to be bold. If you can be more bold, I want to display my glory like you have not seen before. And at times it takes boldness. And all of us will agree that we have the lion of the tribe of Judah in our hearts. It's not a cat. It is the lion of the tribe of Judah. And at times it appears as if the lion in the heart of Christine is stronger than the lion in the heart of James.
That's how we behave. And you say, at least Christian has it, but I don't have it. But I'm here to suggest tonight, it is the same lion. The lion of the tribe of Judah lives on the inside of you and lives on the inside of me. Why is it important? It's important because there are times when we have to let the lion loose. You got it? There are times when you just have to let the lion loose to see what God is capable of doing. And you know, some of us treat this lion like a dog. Some of us treat it like a cat. We are keeping it on the leash. Oh, I won't release my lion because those foxes are more fierce. No. Never advocate for a lion. Release it, it can defend itself. And there are those bold things that God is calling you to do. And it's not in your power. Release the lion on the inside of you. It can defend itself. Let it roar. Let the glory of God be manifest. Let God stretch his hand and confirm his word. Let God do what he promised he will do. I'm going to invite us to stand up right now. Allow me to become a little taller, please. And I don't know what that word is doing to you. But I sense that in this room, there are people who are saying, Lord, I'm hungry for a mighty move of God. Lord, I'm hungry for a mighty move of God. Raise those hands and tell him, express that prayer to the Lord. What face of God do you want to see in these days? Which side of God haven't you seen yet? Those promises of power. Those promises of glory. Those promises of his splendor. Manifesting in your life, in your family. In the church, in the work that God has entrusted you with. Lord, we are hungry for mighty move of God. We are hungry. We are hungry. Move in our day like never before. Heavenly Father, I trust that this entire weekend is going to be a weekend of refreshing. It's going to be a weekend of empowering, of discovering how great you are, how powerful you are. You are moving in our day. And we are asking, Father, that keep on doing your great works. Keep on saving sinners. Keep on transforming lives. Keep on healing the sick and raising the dead. Without you, we can do nothing. But with you, we can do everything you desire. I want to make an invitation for people who feel a stirring up. And God has been, lower it a little bit. God has been working with you for the last 3 to 4 months. There's been a stirring up in your heart. I want to see more of God. I want to see more of God. And in a sense, you've been hearing the Lord say, I want to use you. Please. Walk and just come and stand here. As the ministers lay hands on you, I'm trusting that heaven will empower you in a way you've never known. Like John said, we don't have to wait for Sunday. Because he's here. Why wait for Sunday when God is here? And it's not coming upon you now. Because it has already happened. In the last 3-4 months, God has released something within you. I see this picture of Samson setting fire upon the tails of the foxes and releasing them in the vineyards of the Philistines. I see that picture. And some of us are really very ordinary, but the fire of God is going to set us alight. And God will work through those hands, through that voice, through that life. We're going to need some people to help us. Asha and John is going to help us to invite the people to minister in this session. If we can move maybe some chairs backwards, because more people are still coming. May the presence of the Lord increase on your life. Let it increase. Thank you, Lord. Let's stand behind some of these people. They are already under the presence of the Lord. That's the glory of God you feel over you. That's the presence of Jesus. That stirring up is for something. That stirring up is for something. Thank you, Lord. The size of the flame, the size of the flame does not determine the bigness of the Hamathan fire. One little flame can set the entire bush on fire. One little flame. It's not about the size of the flame. It is the fire within the flame that sets ablaze the entire forest. Like these fires in California, one little flame, one little spark sets a big territory on fire. And that little flame that you feel already inside, God is wanting to touch churches, is wanting to touch communities where the churches are. He's wanting to touch workplaces. He's wanting to touch nations. Some of you people standing here tonight, God is giving you that grace, that anointing to touch nations, nations. We don't want to limit him. Thank you, Lord. Spread those hands towards heaven. Jesus.